Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to Trendy, presented by Omaha, the head-to-head competition where we explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And Katie, I am in a great mood because the gambling god finally took the boot off my neck, at least for a night, allowed me to make a little money and take the lead on you, 8.6 to 2.1. Katie, yes. What kind of mood are you in?
I'm in a great mood. I mean, you know what? Wins and losses. You know, it's a long season. It's a long contest between you and I, you know. It's like, also, I feel like with what we do too, you go on so many different programs and you put bets out there and sometimes you're winning in one program and you're losing in the last program. I mean, obviously in this, the Monday show for us here, I put a lot on Puka. And you know, maybe we were a little bit late to the Puka party and that probably could be it because he was double teamed, triple teamed. You know, he got over his regular receiving line. But then of course we bumped it up, to 100, didn't get there. I think he was at 71 or 72. Tough night for Puka, tough night for, the Rams. The offense just really couldn't get anything going. And it seemed like finally the Bengals, they started moving Jamar Chase around, started getting that clicking. And that did not work out in our favor, but you know what? Win some, you lose some, you got to brush it off and get your head back in the game.
That is the beauty of as much as you and I wager and as much as you and I talk about this thing. It's kind of like the people who own 15 fantasy teams. Like, yes, you're going to win. Yes, you're going to lose because you're going against and for every single possible thing. So you always have something to celebrate as long as you can ignore the crushing defeats on the other side of it.
Like this one.
Like this one. I got a couple of your thoughts on Monday night, but I wanted to give you a chance because I don't think you've hit the mic as hard as you normally do on a Tuesday or Wednesday. So do you have any other things from your notebook on Monday night that we should get out here for our listeners?
Let's see. God, it's like, I almost forget like what happens. I mean, I know what we had, the Rams offense did not get going. What was the other game on Monday night?
We had the Eagles and the Bucks.
Oh, the Eagles and the Bucks. Yeah. Baker Mayfield did not get over, you know, this Eagles defense, as we've known, has been pretty lights out. That was probably the best offense that we've seen from the Eagles so far this season. You know what irritates me, though, Toby, is that Jalen Hurts keeps getting credited for these rushing touchdowns. The push-tush is not running it in. And yes, it is a touchdown. They're like, oh, he's broken all of these records for rushing touchdowns. He gets pushed in, okay? He gets pushed in. So let's just go ahead and pump the brakes on that. Although the anytime touchdown did hit for you, and that is something that's a moneymaker. But I do take some offense to saying that he is rushing in all of these touchdowns when the reality is he's getting pushed in a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there in the name, right? Like if his legs aren't running forward and he's not rushing the ball, he's just being shoved forward. It's just like,
there should be another category, rushing touchdowns and tush push touchdowns. They still count as a touchdown, but you didn't run in.
I think you're an innovator. I think they ought to implement that right away. So, Katie, for me on Monday night, I think it's the takeaway I have is Devonta Smith needs to go back to school and major in drama because hissy fits clearly work in Philly. AJ Brown gets an incredible 14 targets, an incredible 14 targets. As we called on Monday, they had to feed the big dog, but Smith only gets 5. And this is a guy who broke the Eagles record for receptions last season and should be in line for a huge payday any day now. Yet he goes out, does his job and racks up wins rather than headlines. So if I'm his accountant, I'm telling him to stop watching game film and start watching Real Housewives reruns to get ready for how this game is apparently played. Where is the justice for him, Katie?
Yeah, well, look, I was all over Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's what I'm on today. Whoops. All over AJ Brown. I guess we're talking about two Browns here. So it's an easy slip up to make on a Tuesday morning or Wednesday afternoon. Where are we? Who am I? What's happening? But he didn't get the touchdown. I had him for a touchdown. But yeah, look, I mean, when you've got really good receivers, sometimes people get fed, some people aren't getting it. You know, Devontae is going to have another big game. I mean, you just, it's pick your poison with that offense.
Well, I might be a little bit jaded because I had adjusted him down to 30 reception yards. And of course, he ended at 28.
Oh.
I will tell you the other thing, Katie, that I took away from Monday is how much I enjoyed the staggered starts, even if it wasn't about what's on the field, just staggering the games and always have something a little bit more compelling to flip between.
No.
It's incredible. You're on the other side of this one?
I hate dueling primetime games. First of all, primetime is an event. It is one game that you have. And maybe it's because I work in sports media and my Mondays are a gauntlet. By the time I get to the end of it, I've got two TVs, you know, in my room. I know a lot of people have YouTube TV that has the split that like helps you, but I don't want dueling primetime games. I want one game that I can focus on. And yes, the different starts are good because, you know, the halftime or whatever, but like, no, just leave primetime alone. Let it be the event that it is. And on Sundays, we have, you know, we've got a system. We've got Red Zone. You got your, you know, your quads, whatever you're used to it. I don't like dueling primetime games. I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I, you know, bring back, make primetime great again.
Well, finally, something we can disagree on after two shows of largely agreeing on things. And I think we've already handicapped the Thursday night game largely the same way. So let's go ahead and have a fight about this. We all have multiple screens and we have multiple devices, and something that everybody's acknowledged themselves with the incredible multi-view that you already brought up, the staggered times. And look, I'll give you prime time. I'll give you prime time. Let's keep Sunday night. Let's keep Thursday night. Let's keep Monday night. Hell, keep the London game by itself. But what's sacred about the 1 p.m. window? What's sacred about the 4 p.m. window? Like,
nothing.
The NCAA tournament does this in an incredible fashion by mixing up their games. Baseball and basketball do it every single night. It seems okay in college. The world has to split apart because you always can flip between something that's more compelling. And it's incredible to have games at different stages and let the drama play out with a little more space. Besides, Katie, what are we protecting on television? What are we protecting? Like, why don't we want just to have more football and more eyeballs on these games? Who's on the other side of this? Forget about like fishing shows in the morning or 60 Minutes at night. Give me football every 60 minutes instead. Give me two games at noon, two at one, two, three, four, five, and give ourselves the true bonanza we all deserve. And you're such a powerful media figure. It disappoints me. I thought you'd be my ally in this and getting it changed.
Well, first of all, if you want football that much, you're going to have to talk to these players, because they say all the time, it's like getting in a car crash every weekend. So there's just, unless... Look, expand it. Let's have every single state and every city have a football team then at that point, which I am not against. But I don't know. I feel like we're good on the amount of games we have right now in response for the players and what they put their bodies through.
Well, certainly I'm not saying have more car crashes. I'm just saying have two car crashes at a time. And that might not be the headline I want to push out into the world. Like, play the same number of games to start them at different times. Come on. Let's all
enjoy. Oh, you mean on the
more.
Sunday slate starting them at different
Sunday.
Times. Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's right. Well, I'm mostly with you. The 1 p.m. slate is hard because there's so many games. But I do like the London games being at 9:30. I know it's hard for the people on the West Coast, but I was formerly a West Coast gal. And so I was used to watching football at 10 a.m. So when it comes, but now I work on Sunday, so I can't. I'm so sad that I'm going to miss the Toy Story game. I am a Disney adult. I'm sure you can see that I've got some Mickey Mouse ears right here. I've been to every Disney park in the world, except for the one in Paris. But there's 4 parks in Asia, obviously a bunch in whatever. Anyways, doesn't matter. So I'm bummed because I'll be working during that. But the 4 p.m. slate, I think maybe they can stagger a little bit better because there isn't as many games. But yeah, I mean, you might be onto something. You might be onto something.
All right. Finally, I won you over and you're going to help me make it happen. Come on, Katie. You're on every network all day long. Certainly.
Yeah, I'll talk to CBS there. For you. I'll see what they say.
Thank you. Thank you. We're getting somewhere. So one other thing, Katie, I wanted to cover before we give our picks. I can't stop thinking about how much of a true professional you are with your dedication to the NFL, but I have to ask, do you get tempted at all by other sports on an NFL off night? Like, I found myself with the NBA, with MLB action last night, and when that wasn't enough, I was dipping into WNBA games. I was looking at Ryder Cup futures, but none of that for you, when it's so fun. Do you ever do it, or are you all NFL all the time?
No, I'm NFL and NBA. So NFL is my number one. NBA is my number two. I'll get into college basketball during March Madness when everybody kind of gets involved with it. Well, first of all, I work in sports too. So I have a peripheral, you know, view of everything and know what's going on. But in terms of like betting, I like to bet what I really know and what I really like watching. And that's NFL and NBA. And I will say that Coach Prime has got me into college football more than I ever ever have been in my life. Now, of course, we're just, that's all heart, baby, right? So we were winning the first couple of weeks and we lost big last weekend. So we'll have to see how that goes against USC. But I only bet what I like to watch. And I know that there's some people, and like you, it's like, if you're just always kind of itching for action, and, you know, during the pandemic, people were watching ping pong in China or whatever and betting on that. But no, I don't get that degenerate with it. I just bet what I know.
All right. Well, that's why you can afford to go to every Disney park in the world while I'm sweating out a fifth assist in the fourth quarter of a WNBA game last night. So you're doing this better than me.
Well, WNBA, though, has been pretty exciting to watch. And I'm glad that it's getting more media attention, because I do think that these female athletes are incredible. And there's a lot of really big stars right now. And they just needed a little bit of media attention and the games to be available for people to get involved. And I do feel like the WNBA has been a fun one.
Yeah, amen to that. I am happy to lose money on women's sports, just like I'm happy to lose money on men's sports. Equality for all, Katie. It's the first step. All right, well, let's see if we can lose some money on this game coming up on Thursday night and the MLB action when we give out our picks right after this break.
You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right. Gave Caesar some love there. Let's give them some more love by giving them some action, Katie. And I am going to start with our heart pick, where we're just going off our gut. First thing that we see that we kind of like, I am going with the under on the Lions-Packers game, under 46 at -110. And Katie, when in doubt, I fall back on one of my mottos: overs make friends, unders make money. We all want this to be a shootout, which is precisely why I think we are in for a disappointment. Both of these quarterbacks are getting a lot of praise, but it's against their own modest standards. Nobody expects them to be Mahomes, and they're worried they could be Zach Wilson instead. So when they manage to jump over the bar laying on the floor, everyone praises their vertical. I'm very familiar with this personally, as I spend most of my time on this show lowering expectations by giving out lousy picks, so that when I do go 13-2 against the spread like I did last weekend, people look at me like I've suddenly turned into Rain Man. It's all strategery, baby. This is the fourth highest line of the entire weekend for an outdoor primetime night game on a short week with two average quarterbacks. I can see a more grinded out field goal fest here, and if too many sevens become threes, it is winning time for me. How do you see this game?
Well, first of all, I like this. I like this under as well. I mean, primetime games, Thursday night games, short weeks, those all trend towards the under. And also, you know, the under has hit more times than not against these two teams, divisional matchups as well. So we see a lot of sloppy ball on Thursday night. So I like this under. So I like that with you. For my heart, I'm taking Green Bay money line. It's at even money. And look, this is all signs point to Detroit here, guys. All right. All signs point to Detroit. I mean, it's close to a pick. And I believe the line is like 1.5 at this point. Yeah. But Detroit has the better roster. You know, they can light up a scoreboard. They got Dan Campbell biting off kneecaps. And the Lions also prevented the Packers from clinching a playoff spot last year. And I believe they went 2-0 against the Packers last year for the first time. I don't know, maybe ever. But I'm not overly impressed with this Lions team, all right? They didn't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City beat themselves, okay? That's what happened there. Specifically, Kadarius Toney with all of his drops and the pick six and whatnot. So, you know, the Lions lost at home to the Seahawks as 4.5-point favorites. You know, I'm really feeling the love for Jordan Love here, right? Last week against Atlanta, he rallied for 18 points up to the 17. They were down 17-0 going into the fourth quarter. So Lambeau, I lean towards Lambeau being a home winner every single time because that is a very, very special place. These fans are going to be hungry. They want revenge from last year's final game of the season. And the Lions actually haven't been favored over the Packers at Lambeau since 1986. So heart, Green Bay money line, even money against my better judgment that I think that, you know, the Lions probably won this game.
And they're barely getting favored now. I just checked it on Caesars. It's been bet down, Katie. I think even since this morning, it's down to 1 point instead of 1.5. So you get rid of the hook. And at that point, you might as well take the money line, right? Like, I'd rather have the plus 105 than the minus 110. Yes. It doesn't seem like that big a difference, but it adds up over time versus just having this like strange protection in a 1 point game.
The only time I've been burned by the 1 point, I think, is in the NBA. It's happened to me before where I took the 1 point and should have taken the money line.
Well, I got burned on them on the Orioles last night, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
less likely to happen in the NFL with all the points and the giant totals. Speaking of giant totals, this one does not seem giant enough to me, Katie. For my head pick, digging into the numbers, I am going with Sam Laporta over 4.5 receptions at plus 118. And I think you might be doing
the same
thing.
We have the same one.
For the first time in show history, we have the exact same pick. So I'll give my reasons and then you can pile on and give the even better one.
I must have missed that. Sorry. Keep going. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm just continuing on my game script here. I've written in my head as tight ends benefit from games without as many big plays, and I'm not expecting as many big plays tonight. Plus, if you really dig in, you'll see that Laporta has gone over 4.5 receptions in each of his first three games, and his targets have increased each and every week. Caught 8 balls on 11 targets last week, snagging everything thrown his way with 18 receptions on 22 targets on the year. On the other side of the ball, Katie, the Packers have seen tight ends heavily targeted against their defensive scheme, conceding 24 targets to the position the first 3 weeks, yielding 15 receptions. Laporta is arguably the number two receiver in Detroit already on the field for 80% of snaps. If he had a funnier name like Puka, he'd be getting a lot more attention. Mm-hmm. So give me Snooky Laporta here on the plus number.
Yeah, I saw it at 116. Maybe it's 118 on Caesar. So definitely go ahead and take that. Caesar. And literally for all the same reasons that you just laid out. Obviously, I got burned by Puka on Monday. So looking outside of top receivers here and going the tight end route. And, you know, anyone that has followed me for a while, tight end props are my favorite thing to bet. But just like you said, you know, Green Bay has been getting burned by tight ends. They've given up a lot to them. And Laporta's had over this in all of his games this year, even up to 8. So, yeah, riding with you on that one.
There you go. We looked at 70, 80 options and we landed on the exact same one. Make of that what you will at home, my friends. On the heater side, I got a leadoff homer from the Orioles last night and then absolutely nothing. They win 1-0 and do not cover my 1.5 run line, unfortunately, even though they got the W. Although, Katie, I know you weren't watching because you're not so much into baseball, but they tried to steal home with 2 outs in the 8th. Which would have covered my line for me. And you want to talk about a top 5 way to cover? An attempted steal of home in the last out of the home team is about as exciting as it gets. So at least I got something for my money. And then as we talked about earlier, both of us went down with the ship on Puka as I tailed you and the Puka party ended early. So I know you're going to have Puka again on Sunday. We could talk about that more on Friday. I like mine tonight. Again, the O's have the Nats. They continue to fight off the Rays. They also need to honor Brooks Robinson, a true legend in Baltimore, and along with Cal Ripken, the player I most wanted to be like growing up in the area. I honor his memory by never trying to do what he did again, as his fielding at the hot corner was beyond reproach, and he was a complete legend, having spent 23 years with the same team, a concept that seems so foreign now, Katie, with the way players move and seems all sports. 23 years with the same team, passed away yesterday, RIP, complete legend. Do you even imagine, like, who do you think there's a single guy in all professional sports that'll break 20 years with the same team? Like, in the anybody active right now, do you think anybody will play 20 years with the same team in any sport?
No. How long was Tom Brady with the Patriots?
Oh, had to be short of 20 though, right? Yeah. Because he moved to the Bucs when he was 42 or 41. So what, 18 years, I believe?
18 years. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think, no. I mean, I'm trying to think of who's been with the same, like maybe a Steph Curry, but I don't think he's going to play for 20 years. No, I don't.
It's wild. So it's crazy when guys like this pass through this big a legend and you see those stats, you just realize how much has changed. Not just, you know, kind of on the field, but off the field as well.
So, oh, yeah. Okay. Producer Brett says, internet says 20 seasons for Brady. I thought it was 20. I thought it was 20. Yeah. Go, so, Brett. Okay. So Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. I mean, yeah, I guess Mahomes, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if they stay healthy.
It has to be a quarterback, I guess, particularly as the longevity gets. Like, I don't think it's going to happen to any NBA player besides maybe Curry. And Curry's the last of an ending breed with the loyalty that he showed to the Warriors. Yes. And baseball, I mean, forget about it. Like, yes, they might play 20 years because they get contracts that are 20 years long, but they're all moving around as much as they can. So give it up for Brooks. All right. So on the cred pick, I'm staying in baseball, Katie, which I know isn't your favorite, but I'm going to try to tempt you with Jose Berrios. I know, right over the head. I'm going to try to tempt you. Okay. Jose Berrios over 15.5 outs is -129. And it's what I'm going to put 2 units on. Now, Jose Berrios has gotten at least 16 outs in 9 of his last 10 starts and 26 out of 31 on the season. He's very consistent, very rarely gets chased early. And the Jays are depending on him to protect their 2-game wildcard lead against Gerrit Cole, the likely Cy Young winner in the AL. I'm of the belief, Katie, that both sides, when it comes down to an ace matchup for pitching, elevate their game. And it's not like he has to hit against Cole. He gets to pitch against their lousy teammates. You'll like this, even without following them. The Yankees and their $280 million payroll, $280 million on the season, have the second lowest batting average in the entire league. If you're curious, the only team below them is the Oakland A's, who have a $70 million payroll. So they have spent $210 million extra dollars to bat .002 more than the Oakland A's. Money well spent. I hope to have a little bit more money to spend here after Berrios mows them down 16 times. The cash is my bet. The Yankees truly suck, and I'm really sad I only have a few more games to fade them, so I couldn't resist doing it here.
Yeah, well, how about the Mets? The Mets were the most expensive team, and they were just as bad. I'm going to go Jared Goff interception. Yes, it's at +112. 2 interceptions this year, both against NFC teams. Apparently, he had gone 315 games without throwing a pick. Well, those days are over, Jared Goff. And trust me, I still remember when you were in college and you threw 5 picks in 1 game. And I remember 2018 versus the Bears when you threw 4 picks in 1 game. So yes, you congratulations on 315 days. A lot of those weren't in the football season, so I don't even know why we're attacking that. But the Packers hurried both Fields and Desmond Ridder each to throwing a pick. They couldn't get to Derek Carr last week, but he has thrown a pick in 50% of games versus the Packers as a member of the Lions. It's going to be loud at Lambeau. It's a revenge spot for these fans and for the Packers. I think, you know, the crowd can cause some confusions here. He'll get hurried and he'll throw a pick. And that's at +112.
That is a weird stat, the days, right? Like, everybody goes about 240 days without throwing a pick. So why are we telling it this way? It's the whole week.
Yeah, like congrats on half of the year not being the football season, you know?
Well, congrats on the slate of picks. I really like yours quite a bit. Let's go ahead and take our last break, give our sponsors a little bit more love. We'll do Second Guess Express, and we'll also do our tail and fail for the day. Okay, we are back and we have our second guest express, the one that we researched and decided not to give out, as well as we're going to both do our tail and fail this time. And Katie, I'm going to throw it over to you to give both of your picks first.
Sure. Well, I'll tail your under because I'm already riding on that. Plus, we have the same tight end prop. So we're already tailing on that one. Right. And then for my extra, I'm taking Amon-Ra St. Brown over 72 and a half receiving yards at -114. And this is just me getting burned by Puka. That's the only reason why I'm not firing on this one, because he's had over 75 and a half receiving yards in back-to-back games. In fact, he's had over 100 receiving yards in back-to-back game, 102 versus the Seahawks, 102 actually in both of them versus the Seahawks and Atlanta. I lean to this game going under. That's why I'm tailing it with you. So I feel like maybe he's not going to be scoring a lot, but I do think he's going to get over on his receiving yards. So I just got burned by Puka, so I'm afraid to pull the trigger.
All right. I'm terrified of how much we're seeing this game the same way. That continues with my second guess express, Katie, because you inspired me with your pick on Monday, which cashed so easily as your nemesis Stafford threw ball after ball up for grabs again and again and again.
I know. Why wasn't that one of my actual picks? I knew better.
That's the whole power of the second guess express. You had put it in there, he suddenly would have turned into prime Joe Montana with his ball security. I'm going with his trade twin here. As Goff hasn't been great on the road or in primetime games recently, he's been under his 1.5 TD line and 11 of his last 12 on the road, and he has picks in 9 of his last 12 in primetime. So while normally I'd have to choose between these two props, you've done me a favor here, and I could go with both of them. As Sheck says, I get to have cake and some pie. So I'm going to tail your cred pick of the interception for Goff. And for my second guess express, I will go with the under 1.5 passing yards. I'm sorry, 1.5. I think he'll clear the 1.5 passing yards. The 1.5 passing.
I hope so.
He'd have to go full Aaron Rodgers on us to not hit that prop.
Yeah, so that would be bad for the Amon-Ra St. Brown receiving yards.
That would be bad. Pairs nicely with the under. When we saw the game the exact same way, which will I admit, being this much at lockstep, scares the heck out of me and should scare you even more. Are you sure don't want to start this whole show over and disagree with me after listening to me for 2 straight shows?
No, because you're beating me.
Fair enough. You are a girl who follows the numbers. The numbers don't lie on that one. So finally had a nice day on Monday. Try to have another nice day today. And Katie, before we go, why don't you remind everybody where they can listen to you between now and when you come back to pay this off on Friday?
So Thursday I have my Moxie Bets podcast, which is on ESPN's YouTube channel and anywhere that you get your podcast, the Pick Six podcast. It's our pick show. So it's me, Will Brinson, and then a couple of our really sharp guys from Sportsline, Prop Stars, Alex Selznick, and also RJ White. And we go through the whole slate of games on Sunday and give picks for that. And then we are on CBS Sports HQ on Thursday as well from 7 p.m. All the way up until kickoff with our primetime pregame coverage.
Awesome. Well, here at the Extra Points Network, we have the Money Grab feed is now covered. I'm sorry, has now converted into Covered in Glory. So if you already subscribed to it to listen to my and Brett's soccer takes, please stay on, as that's where it will live going forward, while Waiver Wired and Lemon Pepper Parlay are now on their own feeds. Makes it easier for you to find each show, make it a little less confusing. We're happy that we split them up. And please go listen to both those shows this week. Covered in Glory has a Kansas City boy giving his take on the entire Taylor Swift situation, which you don't want to miss. We were talking a little bit about that before the show came on, Katie. You want to give your opinion on all the, kind of chatter on Twitter that she should be the ones calling the plays in Kansas City?
Well, first of all, I absolutely love them together. I think it's amazing. And I think it's also ridiculous that anyone thinks that Taylor is getting some kind of lift from the NFL or draining. Travis Kelce, as much as us football people know and love him, he is unknown to the global society until Sunday. And now everybody knows who he is. He's had 325,000 followers. Now he's got like 3 million or something all from him. His jersey sales up 400%. Like, it's just ridiculous, but it's good for football. You know, there was a 63% jump in women from 18 to 49. You absolutely love to see it. You know, I hope their relationship continues, but if not, I hope this just gets women more involved in watching football and learning about football and betting on football.
Yep.
And so I think it's great for the sport. And yeah, I mean, if the Swifties are calling the plays, then it's going to be give Travis Kelce the ball, which is pretty much the game plan anyway. So I don't think we'll see much of a change.
Let him do it. I say let him do it. Come on. It'll be more fun for everybody. All right. We'll be back with a little bit more fun for us and for you on Friday as we settle up on our contest. Until then, I hope you enjoy the end of the baseball season, the Thursday night game, and all the other action that you are getting down on. Take care, everyone.